You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Centre.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Centre, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden centre, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspirations and Jeremy Fenn, our sponsor from Harry Humans Garden Centre. Hello, hello, David.
Hello, Jenny. How are you? So you good?
Yes, I see. It's flapping.
Yeah, something's going on here with my headphones. Wasn't me. No, kind of wasn't me. How are you doing? How's everything? How's your arm? How's life? Good? Happy?
Arm's doing well.
The vibe's good. I saw Saturday was amazing out the frontier.
Yes,
The lions
yes.
And that.
Did you see us standing there? Yeah. The cakes going.
Yeah. It was very nice. Could hear it from my home across the road, so it was very cool.
Yes, it was.
But we're winding down to Christmas, aren't we? So yes. It's going to be our last show for the year, Jenny. Jeremy's in the studio for that. And we decided that what we're going to do under the banner general, we're just going to recap some important things that we've spoken about through the year. Hey, Jeremy.
Yes.
Are you good?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
How's your diesel going in there on site?
I know. Well, it's running now.
Is it running now?
Because it's load shedding.
But you've been without power for a few weeks, you said. It's been terrible.
Yeah, I didn't have power for... So the generator was working overtime, and then I had to get a server.
I'm for load shedding. That's where all the... So Eskom are looking for diesel, and Jeremy's got it, guys. Just so everybody knows.
Yeah, so luckily we got that sorted out. Awesome. But now, because the machine was running for so long, I thought, we better get it serviced.
Yeah.
So then I organized my guy to come and service this morning. He arrives and then get the notification,
load shedding at 10.
I'm like, oh my goodness. So he's coming back after the load shedding.
It's a nightmare. I mean, I do a lot of irrigation controllers and that. And you just don't look for the other areas because when I work in Hout Bay or something, then you go all the way there and it's like, oh my word. And the problem is if you work off council water, you can actually still at least test the valves, Jeremy, manually.
Yeah. Okay.
The water pressure is always there. But if you're working off of a pump system, it's a nightmare.
You can't do anything.
But I must say, all the nice homes that I work at now, all seem to have battery backups and solar and all that.
Yes.
It seems to be running pretty well at the moment. So,
well, my wife was just saying that I think her cousin, they've just moved to a new house and they got a – when they were just about to move, they thought, well, let's just try and get a quote on solar. And that was in August. And then they didn't move on it. But now they got another quote and it's like 30% less.
Wow.
And it seems to be, I don't know if it's just prices are going down or whatever. So I think it's still a good time to put solar in if you've got the spare cash. But
just make sure if you live in Joburg, you cover the hail damage. I don't know if you saw that, the pictures of all the battered panels from that hailstorm they had was pretty incredible. Anyway, let's get on to the topic, Jeremy. So we're going to start with lawns, Jeremy.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, this time of year, most people are going to be on holiday. I'm not. We're going to be working through because obviously this is when people are going to be home and getting stuck into their gardens more than usual. So
definitely.
You know,
and everybody wants that beautifully mowed lawn for that day. You know, for people to come around, see
the briars and the that sort of thing. So I think it's a good idea just to chat about lawn and just maybe different types and fertilizing and watering and that sort of thing, just from your experiences.
Perfect. So, I mean, all lawns at this time of year, Jeremy, with the weather we're having outside, this thing is really flapping. just with the weather we're having outside, water, as we've said from the get-go, with everything in life, the key to anything in the garden at the moment is water, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really have learned that when I start quoting, I ask the clients, can you water your lawn for 30, 40 minutes every second day? If the answer is no, then I pretty much be honest with them and tell them that they're not going to have the best lawn they can have.
Yes.
Because it does require a lot of care. Mm-hmm. We've been doing a lot of weeding at the moment, Jeremy, some manual weeding. Look, obviously all the winter weeds gone by now. I sprayed a lawn in Constantia the other day. I had wonderful results, but unfortunately it left it quite patchy.
Right.
So that's where I encourage the clients to come to Harry Gummins. Because you sell the trays of Kikuyu and you do also sell the Berea trays, don't you, Jeremy?
Mostly Berea and Buffalo. Kikuyu just grows so fast in the trays that we can order it,
okay,
but we don't keep it. But the Buffalo we definitely got and the Berea, okay. We definitely
so, keep. But if a client say, for example, I've sprayed a patch and it's there's a half a square and I'm a square over there and I order some, then we can come get the kukui from you.
Yeah, or I've got it in seed as well.
Fantastic. And then you just go, we lay it out. But sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with the laundry, the problem is when it's small areas, it's very difficult to get roll-on lawn.
Mm-hmm.
You do have the guys sitting on the side of the road and that, but I kind of always like to use my suppliers.
Yeah.
So when I deal with small patches, I always like to use a plug. Obviously, if there's a dog or something, you got to watch it. You can put something over it, like
they'll just dig that out.
Something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you recommend for feeding at this time of year, Jeremy?
Yeah, well, we've got the organic stuff like the, I think it's called Lawns, which is just that chicken manure-based one. And that's just a general feed, just to you know, pick me up. But then if your grass is in pretty good condition, I've got that thing called Turbo Grass, which is actually a 10-1-5 in terms of like the ratio of the elements. So
10 being nitrogen, obviously 1 yes. being a phosphate for the roots, and 5 being a potassium base.
Yeah, for conditioning and stuff. So that high nitrogen, that 10, is really pushing it. And if your grass needs a little bit of a pick-me-up, or you've got a party or something coming up, then you can definitely hit it with one of those, and that's going to brighten it up really 100%, nicely.
100%.
Going to grow quite fast, so you're going to be mowing. that's probably just part of the deal.
See, Jeremy's trying to keep me in business here, James. You're just calling me, I'll come and mow your grass. No, I love it. But no, that's definitely good advice. I'm very privileged to have a beautiful well point, and I feed and water a lot. And mm-hmm. I must say, Jeremy, my grass is looking absolutely amazing at the moment.
Wow.
I'll send you a picture. But I've got a few shaded areas, and you mentioned the Berea lawn.
Yes.
I must say, Jeremy, over all the years that I've done this, I've just literally gone towards Berea.
Mm-hmm.
Even in sunny it is, I can feel it. Stop it, Jeremy. Even in sunny areas, I find it works like a charm, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. So I find the hybridization between the two. I try and explain to a client that a Berea lawn, in my opinion, almost is I'm not saying it is, but in my mind it looks like a hybridization of a buffalo and a kukui, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Berea's got almost that flat leaf shape
yes.
that buffalo has,
mm-hmm.
but it's also got the growth rate and the greeniness aspect that kukui has.
Yeah.
But it definitely takes shade areas
much better.
Amazingly well, man.
Yes.
And I spoke about plugs and dogs. I've got a Burble and I've got a new pit bull puppy, although she's digging. It's taken massively amazing, and that's just from localized watering, a bit of organic feed. If the area needs a little bit of soil, I top dress it a bit. But I actually, funny enough, on that note, Jeremy, your opinion on lawn dressing.
Mm-hmm.
I find a lot of clients ask me to lawn dress, but I think they misunderstand the use of lawn dressing. I think they think it is a feed for the lawn.
Yes.
And that's going to make their lawns all beautiful and lush. And I always try and tell a client, look, lawn dressing is not done to feed the grass.
Yeah.
You know, you feed organically, like with your products, you feed with your Turbo Boost. The lawn dressing is purely if areas are a little bit, you want them to knit a bit better,
mm-hmm.
And if the area is dipped off a bit and you want to fill up that void so that the grass can knit through it, or if you have a lot of dips or dongas, as we call them in South Africa, in your lawn. I encourage the clients to let the grass grow quite long and then put the lawn dressing in those little holes. And what will happen is, because you've let the grass grow long, the tips need to stick out. I mean, we all know if we cover the grass with lawn dressing without any blades sticking out, we're smothering the lawn, we're going to kill it. So I always try and encourage clients, lawn dressing is not a feeding aspect. Look, you do have compost and nutrients in the lawn dressing, mm-hmm. which add to the value and allow the grass to knit. But I think people are misconcepted about lawn dressing. I had a client that had the most beautiful lawn, and like, yo, just come and feed it and put some lawn dressing on. It's like, well, sir, we don't need to do that. It's not the lawn dressing that feeds it. You know, let's give it some chemicals. Let's give it organic. I like to always do the two. I like to weigh each other up. The organic is quite a slow release, eh, Jeremy?
It's always
a few months, 6 months or so. And then obviously, again, water is the key to all of that. Yeah,
I totally agree with the lawn dressing story. It's definitely, it's got that a bit of compost in. So you will, if you put lawn dressing on, you will see a difference if you're not doing anything else. But it's not going to really feed. It's mainly to level it off, as 100%. You said, and just fill in the gaps. And that's why the lawn dressing it's like a soil compost mix, and it's very fine. You could use a compost over your grass and to just do maybe more feeding, but then
you lift all the bits.
Yeah, all the bits, and you're raking it, and you're doing all that. So the lawn, and that's why also what we sell is a topsoil, and then we've got a lawn dressing. So whenever someone says, "Oh, I need topsoil," then the cashiers are trained to ask, "What is 100%. It using it for?"
100%.
Because often someone will say, "Oh, I need topsoil," and then you say, "What are you using it for?" And it's for your grass. But then the topsoil will have slightly bigger pieces in, because it's actually more of a filler rather than a top dressing or a lawn dressing. So that's why we do have the two products. But it's just, you've got to know what the application is, because you want to use the right thing. And obviously the lawn dressing is a fine, so you spread it, one bag per 3 square meters, and it's just going to sort of fill in the gaps, especially if you're, like you said, when you've maybe done a weed killer and you've got gaps, yes, and you've got holes.
That's right.
That's when the lawn dressing 100%. Is going to do a really good job, because it's going to help that grass that's existing there just to knit in between.
And because remember, when you've killed the weed, you've actually dropped the level in theory, because if it was a matted weed, it's now disappeared. You've lost a centimeter of the weed. You've got to rake it out. So you put some soil back to cover that to allow the grass. You said something about topsoil there. I want to ask you something that even I'm going to learn right now. What is the difference between a potting soil and a topsoil, Jeremy? Because if you, obviously, I know we're kind of getting to that same topic, but kind of all tying in at the moment. But if I'm filling a pot to plant a plant, or I've got a bed that I need to raise, I'm going to use topsoil to raise a bed, and I'm going to obviously buy potting soil for. Is there a difference in the potting soil and topsoil?
It's mainly due to the mix. So it's like the ratio between a compost and soil. So I think like a topsoil, the
more soil
to compost, and a potting soil might be more compost to soil.
Okay.
And that's just how. But it's going to have very similar components, but it's going to be just a different,
just
like
slightly higher.
Yeah. So probably, but the thing is, like in our area, we got so much sand. Often you can get away with filling a hole with like a potting soil and mixing that through with your existing sand.
100%.
Because the topsoil is just adding more sand. So it just also then comes down to price, because some of them are, maybe the potting soil is more expensive than the topsoil. The topsoil is maybe slightly cheaper. So you just have to work out what you're using it for and the budget as well.
100%. 100%. So I think we covered lawns. I mean, I'm a buffalo grass, Jeremy, that you also still in play. What is your opinion on buffalo? Because I must say, over the 12 years of doing this, Jenny Sue, I love buffalo, but I've completely grown away from it, Jeremy. As a landscaper, I'm not going to lie to you. I've got a house in Scarborough that nobody lives at.
Yeah.
It's grown on the edge of the rocks there, and it stays green. But the catch is I find as soon as I go to home there can be even a cat. If the cat uses a path in that buffalo, it just never grows back.
Yeah.
It just constantly dies.
So
it's a very strange situation, Jeremy.
It is, yeah. So buffalo is a...
And it's pretty expensive, hey?
Yeah, it is, because it grows slower. And then the other problem is that if in winter, let's say you've got a garden that mostly during the summertime is full sun, and then during the winter it gets that, because of the sun moving down, then that area might not get enough sun. And then the buffalo, because it goes like totally dormant, will go very maybe patchy.
Yeah.
So that's another problem with the buffalo. But the other thing is, it is marketed as a water-wise grass. But when it's a water-wise grass, it's actually very hard underfoot.
100%.
Because you're not watering, so then it still looks good. But it actually becomes quite a hard grass.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I wouldn't recommend
it. Interrupt you quickly there, Jeremy. The catch is, people, is you need to understand it is water-wise, but in order to take and to establish, it needs to be water, Jeremy.
Yes.
A lot of people buy succulent plants and think that they can plant this baby succulent plant right now and not give it any water, and it's going to be okay. Everything that gets taken out of your nursery, out of a bag, put into the ground, the roots have been disturbed a little bit, might go into a little bit of shock, just needs a little bit of TLC for a month or two, just to show that it's got some water in that. And once it takes, the roots take, then you can
back
stop
off
slowing
a bit
on the watering. But I think people are misconcepted about buffalo and indigenous plants. They think that you can just lay it and walk away. But
no,
when you do buffalo plugs or lay on, you've really got to water well for 2-3 months, Jeremy, until this lawn is established, yes?
Yes. No, I totally agree. But then, as I said, if you've got kids and you want a grass that kids are going to be running up and down on, then I wouldn't really recommend the buffalo, because it's not as resilient as like a kikuyu.
Yes.
And if you want a soft buffalo and you want a soft lawn, you're going to have to water more. So then it becomes very similar to the watering requirements of the kikuyu.
100%.
So you might as well go with the kikuyu, because if the kids make a divot or something, you just push it down and it knits again.
100%.
Whereas a buffalo might take a little bit of a while to come back. So you'd get a mixed lawn anyway.
Okay, once one blade of cuckoo gets to the buffalo. And before we take a music break, Jenny, I just want to also mention, I saw a client the other day who had new buffalo. And one of the bigger problems I had, Jeremy, was, buffalo is very renowned for its runners. I used to see a guy on Nuttigrid Road years ago selling literally runners with a tiny root on. And I said to the guy, his garden boy, unfortunately, didn't know and understand and used a trimmer. And because all the bits were sticking up, the trimmer almost ripped it, and it's actually caused more problems than good. So Weirdly, we're talking about lawn dressing. That would be probably an instance where you'd want to put a bit of soil over the top mm-hmm. to push those runners flat, allow them to be a little bit exposed so that they root a bit better.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to answer questions. Anybody wants to ask a question there, Jenny Sue?
Yes. And that was Tom Jones with the green grass of home. Why? Because we are talking about our lawns.
Well, he's got to add in there, green, only if you water it. Well, I can't sing like Tom Jones, so I'll leave it at that.
Right, so now we've done lawns, and now we're moving on to?
Well, we're going to just talk about mulching for the wind and the sun at the moment. Again, it's amazing because the heat's just racked straight up there. We have these amazingly hot days. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to rely on Jeremy to talk about veggies and herbs that God gave us to end off. So, I mean, Jeremy, mulching, reason being, and why?
Yes, so the when you have an irrigation system or when you do water, you want that soil to stay moist for much longer. So that's the idea with a thick mulch. And the mulch could be a wood chip, it could be a bark nugget, it could be a peach pip, rooibos mulch. You know, there's many options. But anything that's going to cover that soil so that when you water, the water filters through and keeps then the soil moist. So it's not bare soil that's being beat down on by the sun and then evaporating so fast. So it's actually a very important thing in our area because we have obviously down here, the wind as well is a major factor. So that southeaster comes through and it's not just one day. You know, like this week, I think we've got like 5 days.
The rooibos mulch. You lay it and it's gone, Jeremy.
Yeah. So you want to go for the heavier ones. I mean, even stone is a mulch.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So you can use that landscaping fabric over your beds and then put stone on top of that so it doesn't turn into the soil. And then that means that, you know, when you do have a good irrigation, it's going to stay in there.
Keeps the moisture in there.
It just is so much better because you spend less money, obviously. Because your water bill won't be so high.
But I'm kind of veering off slightly off the mulch topic, but when you plant pots out, do you sell a vermicula, Jeremy, which is like a little ball, like a polystyrene foamy ball that keeps water in a pot? Is that correct?
Yeah, the vermiculite looks a little different. You're thinking maybe of the perlite, which is the white one.
Okay.
But the vermiculite is that sort of off-grayish color, and it looks like a spongy kind of thing.
Now, the reason I'm asking you that is because everyone assumes it's for pots, but if you are wanting to keep the moisture in your ground via mulching, etc., do you recommend digging some of that into your open ground space in fishhook areas, that, or do you not really recommend that?
I think it'll be quite expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of the price off my head. It's like 30 rand for 10 liters. So, you know, that's not going to go very far.
Okay. So that's why they're directed towards pots.
Yeah, you can control it in pots and you can do it in maybe a raised bed, or you can buy a specialist.
100%. But I suppose you can get some thick manure, you know, from a farm, and you just
Do
that through your low bed before you put your fabric and your mulch on top.
Yes.
And that allows the size of the granules in the ground to be a bit bigger and to hold more moisture in there. So, because I think the mulching all relates to the aspect of just keeping the water in there. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned earlier with the topsoil, we do have very sandy conditions. So everything just seems to,
disappear.
It's almost like an oil.
So, Jeremy, Judy, hello, Judy, how's it? Judy said that she needs to tell you she bought the rooibos mulch and it works like a bomb.
Yay! Thank you, Judy.
I wonder if it works like a bomb for keeping the snails away as well.
Yes, please let us know, Judy. And also, does it smell like rooibos?
Yeah.
Does it? That can be amazing, eh?
Yeah, when you...
So, Judy, they've asked, does it keep the snails away?
This is the first we're reversing the question, Judy. We're asking you a question. Please let us know, Judy. That'll be awesome.
it really is good. You know, it is also quite pricey, so you can't use it over vast areas, but maybe in pots or something on a patio. Yeah. And then when you water, you're also going to get that rooibos smell.
That's amazing.
Smell. So that's also quite cool. And then, as I said, the bonus is the snails.
The snails. Is rooibos a snail, like a companion plant? It's sort of...
No, it's actually because of how the...
fineness of it.
Yeah, it's been shredded.
Okay, I've got
and
you.
And it's like quite spiky.
Okay.
So like many years ago, there was a company that was producing a mussel mulch, and it was actually just mussels that had been collected from the West Coast.
I mean, I don't want to say anything, but it's like eggshells. A lot of organic gardeners who don't want snails around will crush eggshells up and put them around the plants.
Exactly the same thing.
To do that.
Yeah, so this mussel mulch is quite cool because it was...
That's so cool, mussel mulch.
I think you actually see it quite often when you go up the West Coast. You can see it in gardens that people crush their mussel shells.
It's got like a glimmer to it, as well. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so can't get that, unfortunately, at the moment. I think it was just too... too difficult.
Yeah, but you walk our local beaches, you find so many Perlimann shells. And if you're willing to do a bit of DIY, you just take it. I mean, my parents have a beach house in Pearly Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And you find thousands upon thousands of empty shells. I mean, just bag and use a little mallet, make
it's your own. New business for you. Smashing shells.
Mom, Dad, I'm going to go stay in Pearly Beach and make a business. I love it. Live on the beach all day.
Yeah.
So we got about 2 more minutes, Jeremy. I mean, do you want to get into the veggies and herbs?
No, I mean, we can always leave
everybody
that.
A Merry Christmas as well from you. Thank you so much for everything you've done for me and the show and Zone Radio. We really actually appreciate you on the side of the world, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love you, Nishi. And I had a coffee and a sandwich the other day. It was amazing, man. Yo,
that's awesome.
It's beautiful, Jimmy. You got a wonderful thing this side of the world, man.
It's also amazing, you know, that you can, you know, take time off to be here and share your knowledge and expertise to all the gardeners out. And I cannot believe how many gardeners there are in this valley and afar. And look at Judy.
Yeah. So waiting for your answer, though, Judy. Come on. Yeah. But not this year, then never, Judy.
Yeah.
But I was asking Jeremy earlier, Jenny, we were talking about Christmas, if he had any holly plants. Just to hang up, because it's quite a joke, you know the old kissing on the holly. But my parents actually found one or two, I think, at the Woolies, I told you, Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought it would be quite cute to cut to one and we can hang them up, especially all over, Judy.
Yes.
And Jenny Sue, everywhere.
So if I see you,
the love up in the world, man.
So if I see you've stopped along the road and you're just hanging something up, it's the holly house.
I'm going to keep it in my bag for my wife, and then she's going to hold it up. All right, Lekker. Jenny Sue, just to tell you, we love you lots. Appreciate you too. Wow. Lekker, we'll see you in the new year. And
ditto.
I'll see you at the Christmas party.
Ditto.
Jeremy, give me some knuckles on there, brother. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jeremy. So, and we'll catch each other in the new year.
So, Jeremy, you did say you're not on leave and you're only going on leave for 3 days. So they are available. So give out your numbers,
Lekker. So, Budding Inspirations, thank you for the support. It's David, 073-247-0351. Just have to add in there, Jenny Sue, unfortunately, though, I am fully booked for the year.
Yes.
You know, this time of year, we get booked up 2 weeks ago. So,
but in case of emergency?
In case of an emergency, phone Jeremy.
Yeah, because David's available in the evenings. No.
I got you.
In case of emergency. I'm only giving my landline, not my cell phone.
I've got it. Don't worry. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
Do you want to give me a number for
it? Yeah, well, I mean, it's always there. 021-785-3201. Yeah, give us a call.
And as David said, for emergencies.
Yeah. You're always just going to go, no, you can phone David on. Thanks, guys. Lots of love to everybody in there.
Bye for now.
Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.